Get ready for an all-new Hardline segment. It's time to step into the Snake Pit.
Brought to you by
American Leak Detection.
Now with something completely over
yes,
the top.
American Leak Detection.
The host and star of the Snake Pit.
True.
Snake.
So, Bob, you were gone on Friday.
Yes, sir.
Friday was the 50th anniversary of the release of... Sorry. It's okay. You're doing great. Don't you worry about a thing.
Just keep shooting.
Yeah. It was the 50-year anniversary of the release of Jaws. And more specific, don't know if you knew this, Bob Marino, but the first showing...
Sorry, hang on, there's a concert breaking out.
The first screening of Jaws that the public saw in the United States or in worldly was in Dallas.
Wow.
Spielberg chose Dallas. The Medallion Theater right off of Skillman and Northwest Highway, which doesn't exist anymore.
Somebody told me it's not the same building, but it's where the Kohl's department store sits right now.
Yeah.
Because what city is more linked to sharks and shark-type things than Dallas?
Yeah,
I wonder. Spielberg evidently had done other test screenings in Dallas.
Okay.
And had good experiences with the crowds here.
I think the Sugarland Express or something. I can't remember one of those movies that he did, but this was essentially the second movie he ever did.
Okay.
And Spielberg had not done Close Encounters. He had not done E.T. He had not done Indiana Jones. He had not done anything that made Spielberg Spielberg. And so they have the screening here, and it was a wild-ass night, according to everyone in attendance, including Spielberg and the producers, who midway through the screening, they started hugging each other because the audience was going crazy. They were scared to death. One guy came running back and was running out of the theater as fast as he could, and before he could get out, threw up right at Spielberg's feet when the boy got eaten by the shark.
That's hot. Yeah.
And he was like, yeah.
And this was part of a double feature. Like, people paid to see the Towering Inferno, and then they stayed to see this special screening of Jaws.
Dang.
And the rest is history. Jaws became the biggest, highest-grossing movie of all time. It started... The term summer blockbuster didn't exist. Summer movies weren't even a thing. 30% of movie sales back then were summer movies. Now it's flipped completely where it's 70%. And so it changed the game. I was too little to see it in the theater. They re-released it in like 1980. And I think I went and saw it then. I really can't even remember. They had released, you know, Jaws 2 and 3 by that time, Jaws 3D. But really, I didn't get to experience it. And I never really thought about it that much either because I was so obsessed as a kid with the other Spielberg movies, as we all were, mm-hmm. mainly Indiana Jones and E.T. But this launched Spielberg, and so Friday was the 50-year anniversary, and I told the guys, and none of them are here, and you weren't here either, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to watch Jaws again. I'd seen it with my kids maybe 15 years ago. I don't remember. It wasn't 15 years ago. It was sometime where we watched it, but I was kind of worried about them watching it, and I didn't let them see it until my oldest was like 10, because we like to go to the beach, and it scared so many people from going to the beach.
There's no doubt.
At the time, and so I was pretty protective, and when I watched it the last time with them, I was watching them watch it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even paying it. I was like scared that they were going to be freaked out by it, so I was mainly watching them. And so I asked my oldest, who's 19 now, I go, hey, man, I go, when's the last time you saw this? And he goes, I haven't seen it since I was 10 years old. And I go, do you want to watch it? It's the 50-year anniversary. And he goes, well, let's go to the theater and watch it. And I don't know if we're going to have time for that. I would like to watch it before so I can just do it on the show. And he was like, all right. And so we looked it up, who was showing it. Peacock is showing it in celebration of the 50-year anniversary. If you have Peacock, dude, I cannot recommend this enough. So you click on Jaws 50 is what it says, and here are the opening remarks as Steven Spielberg is staring at you. And
hi, everybody. I'm Steven Spielberg. And it seems hard for me to believe,
that it has been 50 years since the original release of Jaws, especially since when we made the movie, which was officially only my second movie, so much went wrong that I honestly believed that my new career in movies was going to sink to the bottom of the sea. Because we arrived on location in Martha's Vineyard thinking we had everything under control, when in fact, we were so overwhelmed by the challenges of shooting on the ocean, under the ocean, not to mention that one of our stars, Bruce the Mechanical Shark, was more temperamental than any movie star and famously often refused to come out of his dressing room. So I went over schedule and I went over budget, and none of us in front or behind the camera had any clue whether or not we had been successful in transferring Peter Benchley's bestseller to the screen. But when it opened in June of 1975, audiences abandoned the beaches and went to the movies to see Jaws. And 5 decades later, I am so happy to be able to share this anniversary with all of you.
And then they roll. And so I had so much fun watching this movie last night. I can't even tell you how perfect of a movie this is, how perfect of a summer movie it is. And if you're a fan of Spielberg, which if you're not, you're missing out on the greatest director we have, and with apologies to Scorsese and all those guys. Spielberg to me is just, he's what we grew up with, right?
Yep.
He embodies what going to the movies is all about. And that's exactly what this is. And I asked Dave this, and when's the last time you saw this?
Jaws?
It's sitting down stem to stern.
Probably 25 years at least.
Yeah. I'm telling you, you will have a blast. Watch it with your boys.
Okay.
And there's something, everything about it, if you live in the Spielberg world, you see all of the Spielberg tricks, including the John Williams score, which John Williams, you know, went on to do everything. Well, this is kind of what made him famous right here. And the combination of music, the combination of all the little Spielberg camera tricks, the shark itself, you don't see the shark for an hour and a half. Just the fin and the thought of the shark. And which they thought was going to destroy the movie, but it made the movie. And it's two movies. The first part of the movie is the beach and the scene on the fictional town of Amity up there by Martha's Vineyard and how the shark attacks everybody on the beach, or, you know, a handful of people on the beach, which of course starts with the skinny dipper and her drunk boyfriend. Everything about this is just a build up to the last half of the movie, which is about the three men on the boat and the hunt for the shark. So it literally is two movies in one. It's 2 hours long, not too long at all, but I had so much fun watching this, and it's been so long since I consumed it, I think, because the last time, like I said, I saw it with different goggles on, to sit there and watch it and appreciate everything, and the amount of times where the jump scares, they're still there. My kid was, he's like, I can't believe I'm falling for this still. I'm like, I know. And there's something really, really cool about the mechanical shark too, which, you know, it's fake, but the way it's utilized and the fact that you don't see it hardly at all until, especially, you know, whole hog until the last 15, 20 minutes of the movie, there's something that is so cool about the way they utilize this as opposed to what we see now, which is all CGI. And the lengths that they had to go through to try to sell people on this. It's just a perfect piece of art. And the fact that, you know, one of the most famous scenes in the movie is Robert Shaw, who played Quint, who was the, you know, the main guy that was hunting the shark. He was a terrible alcoholic. And they were so worried that the guy was going to show up on set and ruin line after line and scene after scene because he was drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And which he did at times, I think. There were nightmare shoots with this guy. But his soliloquy in telling the story of the USS Indianapolis is so bone-chilling.
It is.
And so frightening. and so jaw-dropping in a sense of nobody was aware of this story, especially people that were going to the movie as kids at the time. No one knew the story of this ship that was torpedoed by the Japanese in World War II, and 1,000 men go straight into the ocean.
Yep.
And 2/3 of them are eaten by sharks. And so here is one of the survivors of this telling this story to two men who aren't familiar with the story. Nobody in the theaters are familiar with this story. And you're like, oh, that's why this guy is on this mission. And the other thing that blew me away, this thing was rated PG. This is one of the most out in front of your face, gory PG movies. There was no PG-13 at the time.
PG-13 wasn't invented until the early 80s.
I honestly think, though, this is a rated R movie. A shark takes a boy, and again, you don't see it, but you see it milliseconds after it happens, and the blood flying up in the air from the shark getting a raft and a boy and taking him under. And then, I mean, the shark in the end, too, the scenes that they have with the three guys that are hunting him, Roy Scheider and Robert Shaw and Richard Dreyfuss. Dude, it's so gory. It's so hardcore. And the sounds of bone snapping. And I'm like, kids went to see this. The second, third, fourth grade kids at the time, everybody that was alive, it seemed like, went to see this movie in that summer of 1975. And
it had such an iconic spot in society and culture for a decade.
And my kids, back when they saw it, I do remember them saying, that looks fake. That looks fake. Like, now though, that you're older and you're more appreciative of it, what they actually did utilize this shark for and how perfect it was for the times. Perfect. It is a 10 out of 10. It's a total blast. Like, if you got time, you're going to need a bigger boat, which I think was improvised. The scene after that is, all of it is perfect Indiana Jones synchronized Spielberg magic. From that moment on, when you see the shark emerge from the water and Roy Scheider, you know, is like all bug-eyed or whatever with the cigarette hanging out of his mouth, all of that is Spielberg magic. It's so much fun. It's such a summer classic. Perfection.
And all the tension of the sinking of the boat.
Oh my God.
And just, you honestly are watching, wondering the fate of the heroes of the story.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Dreyfuss's character doesn't reemerge till like the last minute.
I know.
Spoiler.
Oh, my bad.
And you're seeing a 27, 8, I don't know how old Spielberg was, but you're seeing a master at his craft at a really young age. Kind of learning on the fly.
He was like the Cooper Flagg of movies.
Oh my God, he totally was.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yes, the Cooper Flagg of movies. Anyway, if you got a second over your summer vacation and you have kids that are old enough, watch this. They'll love it. You'll love it. And it's 1975. Everything that you think about 1975 is in this movie.
They got a 90-minute doc coming out. They already have it coming out on the physical 50th release, but it's coming back out on streaming too.
Really?
I don't know when that streaming date is, but if you buy the physical disc right now, you can watch it. It's like 127, yeah.
Love it.
And it is funny because it is so of the time, so 1975 beachwear.
Yeah.
But so many of those fashions are now back.
I know.
And so it is kind of a weird through the looking glass of like, this could have been shot like last month.
Right. And they don't try to clean it up for the 50 year either. I mean, it's in its form.
Yeah,
it is
not
what
a
it
George
is.
Lucas special edition where the shark has a lightsaber.
Did any sharks ever sue the movie for damaging their perception worldwide?
I don't know if any of them did.
They should have.
But man,
sharks are nice.
It's some scary ass.
I think they arbitrated.
Sharks get a bad rap.